Today's reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 20 to 26. The book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 20 to 26. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. This is the word of God.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Before I start, let me pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather around your word, I pray that you would speak through me. May I only speak the truth, and may that truth go into each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before I start, I was a bit late getting out today, and I wonder, now Nick is a really good friend of mine, really good. Could you lend me £10, Nick?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks, mate.
I've only actually got a fiver.
You've only got five?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, give me that and you can owe me the rest. It's all right, good lad. I need this, I came out without any money, and I've just heard that Andy Spencer's run out of Jaffa Cakes, so I thought I'd go and buy him some. Those regulars would understand that, and those that don't wouldn't. The fact I borrowed £5 means that I am now in debt to Nick for the sum of £5. I'm in debt. It's a funny word, debt. If it was down to me, it'd be spelt D-E-T, but somebody clever years ago put a B in it for some reason. D-E-B-T, but it's a debt. And that debt has to be dealt with. I have to pay him back. Or somebody has to pay it back on my behalf. Or perhaps Nick might say, well, don't bother paying me back, just mow my lawn 6 times or something. I might be able to work it off. But one way or the other, that debt has to be dealt with. Has anybody been watching the 100, the cricket? 6 hands have got up. Well, for those of you who don't know, it's a cricket tournament where there's 100 balls. Anyway, I'm going to use a cricket analogy. Now, I'm going to do something that we would never do. I'm going to pretend to be playing cricket in church. And of course, we would never play cricket in church. That is not what church is for. It's God's house. But I want you to imagine that I am, and I'm batting, and they're the wickets, and somebody's just put a lovely ball down. Oh, it's just right height. And I smack it, and it goes right through that stained glass window there. Oh, dear. Peter, you're on the buildings and grounds. Where are you?
I'm here.
How much would it cost to repair that?
£10,000.
Oh, thanks, Pete. Is that what we said? Right, so £10,000 to repair that window. Guess who's got to pay for that? Yeah, me. Because the insurance isn't going to pay out, because playing cricket in church is not one of the activities we should be doing. It's a reckless act. I've gone and broken a stained glass window when I shouldn't. I now have a debt of £10,000 by something I have done, by an action. And you're probably now thinking, what is he talking about? What's this got to do with that passage that we've had read to us from Romans? I don't remember hearing the word debt. Well, here's the thing. We owe a debt to God. Now, what debt would that be? Well, to understand that, we need to go right back to the Garden of Eden. And God created the perfect environment. He created the garden, and he put in there Adam and Eve, and they were perfect. They lived the perfect life. They were God's people in God's place under God's blessing. They were how God intended it to be. But then we know what happened. God said, do not eat from that tree in the middle of the garden. And they did. They disobeyed God. They did their own thing. And it was all ruined. And suddenly they were no longer perfect. Their eyes were open to evil and to good. And that's the way it's been ever since. So what we owe God is a perfect life. If we want to be part of God's family, we need to be like God. We need to be perfect. Well, how are we going to pay that debt? Well, I've got some ideas. I've been thinking about this, and I've given an envelope to three people in the congregation. I'd like them to now just stand up and hold that envelope up, if you would. So we've got Jerome, Luca, and Henry. Henry, would you like to open your envelope and tell us what it says? Cash. Yes, that's a way I could be perfect, isn't it? I could start to become perfect by using my cash better, my money. Because money is how we normally think about debt, isn't it? Well, how about if I used my money for good things? Gave it for good causes? For all those things you see on the television? Or perhaps to charities, to the church even? That would show God that I'm trying to be perfect, wouldn't it? Rather than using all the money for myself and saving up, I could sell things. I could give more money to good causes. And that way God would say, yes, he's really trying to be perfect. But perhaps that's not quite enough. Perhaps there's something else he could do. Luca, would you open your envelope? Perhaps this is another way that I might be able to be perfect. Charity. Yes, that's what I could do. I could start working for charities. I could give up my time. There's lots of good causes. There's people in this church that do things with the food bank and Money Lifeline and Cedar Tree Counselling and Prison Fellowship and many other types of charities. That's what I could do. I could do good works. That would show God that I'm a good person and I'm perfect, wouldn't it? If I'm using all my money and all my time to give to good causes, then surely God would say, he's getting there, he's close. Perhaps there's something else, Jerome. What's the last? There might be more envelopes, but these are the only three I came up with, but you might think of some others as well. What else might I do? It's in there somewhere. I'm sure I put it in. Hey, there it is.
Church.
Yes. That's the answer, isn't it? This is God's church. This is his place. That's what I could do. I could start going to church. I could perhaps start reading his Bible. I could join Rotas. I could do the cleaning rota and the coffee rota and things. I could pray every day and show God that I'm really trying to earn my place in his family. Thank you. You can sit down. Do you see what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to find a way that I can be perfect. And then God will say, yes, Steve, you can come into my family. But there's a problem. And that was in our reading from Romans, where Paul said to the Romans, he said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Oh dear. No matter what I do with my time, with my money, with going to church, with whatever, it says I've fallen short. I can't do it. I can't become perfect. That gives me a bit of a problem, doesn't it? What am I going to do? What I need somebody who can pay that debt for me, who is perfect. Because only somebody who's perfect can actually pay that debt on my behalf. He could do something that says to God, Steve's okay, he's like me. And I wonder who that person is. Well, I've got another envelope here. And you'll notice that all the words began with C. I love an alliteration during the sermon. And here's the last envelope. This will give me the answer. The thing that's missing is Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Because what happened was that God realized that we can't be perfect. We can't earn our way into heaven. We can't earn to be right with God, to be righteous like he is. And so when we stand in that court of law, and God says, so why should you come into my family? I can say, because I believe in Jesus. And Jesus can say, yes, he is one of mine. I died on the cross for him, and I paid the penalty. I paid that debt for him. So his debt is paid. He is clear of all the things that might be against him. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He paid that penalty. He paid that debt for me. So that if I accept that free gift, I can then enter God's family. That is my way in. It's through Jesus Christ and only him. Do you remember it says that Jesus said, I am the truth, the life and the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so in a court of law, we have justice. And the word we use for this is to be justified. That I am justified by Jesus' act on the cross. He's paid the debt. I am free of that sin. I am now just. And I've been justified by that act. So that when we read the rest of Romans, it kind of then makes even more sense. Because it said, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at this present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So it's in Jesus that we are saved. Now, last week, do you remember how Warren said, and for those that weren't here, what he said was that when we come to Jesus, our world is turned upside down. All those things we thought were important are no longer important. The things that we thought were worthless are now suddenly really important. And I want to be absolutely clear that once we come to Christ, all those things I talked about, how we use our cash, how we use our time, how we regard church, all change and suddenly become really important, because that's what God wants us to do. But it's as a natural reaction to what he has done for us. The love he has poured down upon us, we pour back to him through the way we live our lives. I just want to end by just reading one of my favourite passages. Comes from Titus. It's a lovely little book, is Titus. Comes towards the end of the New Testament. It's well worth reading. It's very short. But he says, Jesus saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We become part of God's family. And as part of his family, we are heirs to eternal life, to glory. For those of us who've already realized this and given our lives to Jesus, rejoice afresh at what God has done for us through his grace and mercy. For those who are not quite there yet, ponder on it, think about it. Speak to people who do understand and are able to explain it to you more, because it is the most important thing that you could find out about. It will change and transform your lives. So as we end, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that every day we are in debt to you, and yet Jesus, through the cross, paid that debt for us, for sins past, present and future. And we glorify and thank you for that wonderful thing. Father, for those of us who have given our lives to you, we rejoice and we thank you. For those of us who haven't, would you touch our hearts? Would you just put in our hearts a desire to know more about your wonderful kingdom and your eternal life that you are offering out as a free gift to those who will accept it? And we pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.